to the word of the Lord this evening. Amen. We have, for a while on Tuesday nights, we've been speaking on the spirit of holiness. Amen. There is many, many topics in the word of God, and in due process, we hope to always cover them all. This is an area that we like to visit at least once a year for several services. And so this year is not exempt. And so we want to talk about holiness. Amen. And we like to title, we will title, as we have in the past, this Tuesday night, next Tuesday night, and hopefully the following Tuesday night, the mark of the best. The mark of the best. Amen. We know according to Revelation chapter 13 that there will be a mark of the beast. But if we leave this world bearing the mark of the best, then the beast will have no chance. And so we want to talk about that for a few moments. Amen. And trust in the Lord to help us this evening. I guess we can start with some opening scriptures. What is it? Revelation 13, 16, 17. He causeth, the Bible said, and this is when it's all wrapping up. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And this wasn't even possible until the chip, computer chip. Now, because the Bible says in the hand, or in the forehead. And now we know that many of our military are receiving a chip under the skin, and they're able to buy, sell, and trade, and work their bank accounts and all of that business with this. Are you saying, Pastor, that that's the mark of the beast? I have no clue. I don't think it is. I just know if they ask me to take it, I will say no. And so technology is growing, but I will not let technology grow in me. In my mind, maybe, but not in my skin. Praise the Lord. And so we're dealing with it. Ladies and gentlemen, whether we want to be ostriches with our heads in the sand or not, it's totally, there are so many people that even in America are oblivious to the fact that we are living in the last days. This is end time. I can prove it to you in the Word of God. That's another Bible study, but I can prove it. Amen. There are dispensations in the Word of God, and we are living in the last dispensation of time. Amen. It's proven. It's inevitable. The evidence is clear and cut in the Word of God. Amen. When you got your daily newspaper saying the same thing as Revelation, something's up. Amen. And so that's where we are. And so what we've got to do is every now and then we got to refortify, recertify, and re-identify with the Word of God. Because it's not going to be how I feel or how I think or someone's opinion that I'm going to be judged by when I stand before the throne. Jesus said we will be judged by the Word of God. Amen. There's 66 books in the Bible, and that's why I like to call it Route 66. Amen. Every book in the Bible is woven together and is instrumental in our relationship with God in the end time. Amen. And so it is. Let's look at, what have I got? Revelation 9, 1 through 4. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locust upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And so here we are with a mark of the beast, and here we are referenced with a mark of the best. I'm going to share with you what the mark of the best is for the New Testament people of God. Amen. And so that being said, one more scripture, Philippians 3 and 14. This is what he said. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't want to just leave a mark, but I want to be marked by God. How about you? Amen. So let's go into lesson one tonight. Let's look to the Lord in prayer once again as we talk about the mark of the best. Jesus, we look unto you from whence cometh our help, because our help comes from you. And we pray, Lord, as we go deep into the scripture this evening, that you would let it penetrate our very hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Lord, that you would never let us be offended by the word, but let us be defended by the word. And that, Lord, you would let the word of God sink indelibly into our hearts, and we could say, as David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, O Lord. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. God bless you as you're seated. Amen. The body will reject a foreign object, and so will the body of Christ. We get our height, we get our eye color, we get our hair color from genes passed on from our parents. This is the body of Christ. The church is the body. You can't change it as you go. Amen. And for the last 2,000 years, since a little over 2,000 years ago when the New Testament church began on the day of Pentecost, you can look around our nation and around the world and see prolific change. It's just everywhere. How do you avoid getting away and getting apart from the way God originally designed the church to be? Here's where it's at today. Here's the doctrine that's being taught. It don't matter where you go, what you do, or what you believe. We're all serving the same God. That's not true, ladies and gentlemen. It is not true. It's easier. And that's why the scripture said there's a wide road that leads to destruction, but there's one that's very narrow that'll lead you to the kingdom of God. We're not looking for the wide way. We're looking for the right way. And for me to stand here and say, we have arrived and we know everything, would be false doctrine as well. Because there's not one person in here today that cannot say, I have more to learn. And there is more for me to know and more for me to receive. I like to say it like this. A fruit that becomes ripe. The moment a piece of fruit becomes ripe, it instantly begins to rot. So I want to cry out to God, Lord, I hope I'm not ripe. But I want to continue to grow in the grace of God. How about you? Amen. I believe that. Amen. And so we want to continue to grow. And so in that, what we've got to do to stay original, what we've got to do to stay on the right path, is to go back to the black book called the Bible and stay with the Word of God. Because there's been too many opinions. Churches are started every day because of someone's opinion. And now in America, we've got to recognize Wicca, which is a church of witches. We've got to recognize everything under the sun, the Muslims. We've got to recognize everything, every God. My thing about that is when you come over here because your God didn't work for you over there, try mine. He works. But I could get locked up for saying things like that. And so that's why I don't say things like that. And so it's true, you know, and I guess it's a lawful national right. But that's how far we've gotten away from the Word of God. And so we've got to get back to the Word of God because it's the Word of God that we're going to be judged by. Amen. This is the body of Christ, and you can't change it as you go. Unholiness will be rejected from his body, just like white blood cells will separate a splinter from your finger. Amen. Holiness is to the soul what health is to the body. Holiness is health to our soul. Amen. The Bible tells us that pride goeth before a fall. And so we've got to reject it. Because pride will not let you humble yourself before God or His Word. I'll give you some statistics tonight. We're not alone here in Lexington. This is not an independent little work that we just started and decided on a little gospel thing and started preaching it. And we're all over here by ourselves. In the year 2017, the United Pentecostal Church achieved new records for total constituents, ministers, and churches. In the United States and Canada, we have 10, in 2017, I'm sure that's grown huge, but 2017, it's 10,400 credentialed ministers and nearly 5,000 churches. Around the world, it's 40,000 works in 190 nations and 35 territories, with an estimated constituency of 4 million. So we are not alone in what we're talking about here tonight. Amen. And what I want to do this evening, and I hope you're not bored by it, is that I am going to give you scripture because this is a Bible study. And so that's what we're going to study, the Bible. And the Bible is going to teach us on a specific subject tonight, and that is holiness. Amen. The pioneers of the present day apostolic church, and all apostolic means is to be like the apostles. The apostolic church were part of the great holiness movement that swept denominationalism near the beginning of the century. When they received the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God convicted them of fleshly lust and worldliness. Many were compelled to separate from people and organizations that they loved. Without the advantage of formal training and scholarships, they searched the scriptures. It's a good way to go. The Word of God meant everything to them. As they discovered truth, it became their standard. The message of holiness, separation determined their identity, and they became known as holiness people. The generations that have followed have not been as energetic in their pursuit of godliness. Neither have they been able to hold on to all that was dear to the pioneers. And so great losses have been sustained, one generation at a time. Today we hear standards that were once commonly held by all, every denomination. They're now branded as legalistic and restrictive to Christian liberty. Amen. If Christian liberty is living like the world, then to me that is not Christian liberty. I came out of the world. The slide will continue where there is a lack of true biblical perspective. God's word has always commanded his people to be holy. If we cease to emphasize and to pursue the holiness of God, all else that we do will come to absolutely nothing. Nothing. One man got so mad about hearing about holiness, someone said he sat down and began to look through his Bible and to rip out pages that had anything that even hinted about holiness. And when he was done, every one of the pages of the Bible were in the fireplace burning. He closed the cover and had to throw that in because the outside said, Holy Bible. And there he sat without a Bible. Amen. There is no living for God without holiness. Can you say amen? When truth is presented understandably, it inevitably creates a revolutionary change and a complete transformation. The gospel produces crystal clear sanity and reason for wholeness. It's time from us to change from mortal to divine in nature. Amen. Jacob, the Bible tells us, was like a worm. We talked about him a little the other night, the other service. And so God, in order for God to use him, he had to change him. He changed him to the point that he even changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And then Israel morphed into a total nation. If God can change me to the point, and if he can change you to the point that he can revolutionize our nation and create a people for himself, then I'm all about that. How about you? Amen. Parents, listen to me. Satan does not want his kids looking like Christians. And whether this generation wants to realize it or not, there is a Christian look. And there is a worldly look. It is not the will of God for the church to be worldly. And Satan certainly doesn't want the world churchy. Amen. So if Satan does not want his kids looking like us, why would God want his kids to look like Satan's? All right, here we go. There's a clear call to holiness in the Word of God. Now, we're going to establish a foundation tonight, and then we'll leave and go home and try to beat the ice water that's supposed to fall again. So there's a clear call to holiness in the Scripture. Leviticus 11:44, the Word of God says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves." Did you hear that? There is no preaching about people sanctifying themselves. God's got to be the one that's all sanctified. He's got to do all the cross carrying. He's got to do all the sacrifice. All I'm supposed to do is believe in Jesus as my Savior. When the Word of God says, "I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves. You shall be holy." Why? "For I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." In other words, the Bible is clearly telling us to stay away from the creeps. I'm just kidding. I don't know the definition of a creep. But there are things out there, yes, yea, I say even people, that we should not be like. Listen, the Lord died for a world that he loved, and I don't care. And I may be marked for this, but I want to go on record saying there's not a lesbian he doesn't love. There's not a homosexual that he doesn't love. There's not a sinner of any kind. There's not an adulterer, fornicator. There's not a pot-smoking, beer-guzzling, Charlie Daniel-choking. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. There's not an individual like that out there that my God does not love. But that does not mean they are saved. They must be born again. I want them to come to Landmark just like they are. But by the grace of God, they're going to leave different. By the grace of God. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, it is not the people that we hate. It is these addictions and afflictions and restrictions and these spirits that attack them and try to cause them to be so bound and wrapped up and tangled up. And so if we can stay with the Word of God will give us the power and the authority, yes, to lay hands on the blind and they shall recover. To lay hands on the deaf and their ears will be open. And to lay hands on those that are supposed to have normal marriages. normal homes, a true, real family. Amen. All of that will come to pass and people will be delivered if there is a people that are delivered and are standing on the Word of God. I want to be those people. I want this church to be that church. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can't defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Isaiah 52:11. Depart you. In other words, come out of that. Depart you. The Lord was so desperate about it. He said it twice. Go ye out from thence. He put it in another way. But three times he said, get out, get out, get out. Touch no unclean thing. Go you out. There it is again. Of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Where is this vessel that I'm bearing? Right here. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. For those that have adopted the doctrine that God looks on the inside, not on the outside, that's not true. The Bible just said, he said, cleanse the flesh. That's the outside. Am I correct? And the spirit. God does look on the inside, but guess who looks on the outside? Your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your family. Hey, if God's changed you, let them see your change. That's why when the preacher walked by the gate, beautiful, and the lame man said, alms for the poor. They said, hey, we don't have change like you think, but we've got change. When everybody else that passed him gave him a little money, he still sat there the same kind of man. But when they walked by and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That man got up and he walked. Recently, we had an 86-year-old lady healed of cancer. Amen. Not long ago, we had a pastor healed of nasopharynx cancer. Amen. He had a feeding tube. He had surgeries. He had 18 lymph nodes taken out of his neck. I know that's true because I was that pastor. Amen. We've had about 18 to 20 people that woke up out of comas. The sickest individual in Baptist Hospital, I went and laid my hands on her, and it was the glory of God that came in and healed her. 1 week later, she was in our church testifying. The doctor said she was the sickest person in the hospital. When I went in to pray for her, they were planning her funeral. I asked her husband if I could pray for her. He gave me permission to pray for her. He didn't even come over to pray with her. He knew she was going to die. I leaned over and whispered in her ear. I said, my name's Kenny Marshburn. I pastor Landmark. I'm going to pray for you. You're going to raise up out of this bed. I prayed for her. Nothing happened. I stepped out of the room. I was halfway down the hall going to pray for Melissa Gray's twins when they were born. Same time. This is all the same time. And I was going to pray for them. And I got stopped. And they said, hey, preacher, you got to come back. She's waking up. I went back and prayed for her again. She not only woke up, she got up. And like I said, a few days later, she was at Landmark testifying about the healing power of God. So if we'll stick with the Word of God and we'll become those vessels that people can look at and God can look at as well and see the difference and see the change. 2 Corinthians 7:1, again, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness, flesh, spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:7-8. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness. He called us out of uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man. He's talking about holiness. You despise holiness. You don't despise men. You despise, he said, but God. You despise God. Who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12:14. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and, somebody say it, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. But as it's in there if you'll look for it. But as he which hath called you is holy. Is he holy? I just don't know how you feel about it, but I'm so thankful my God is not a pot smoker. I'm just so glad he's not a drunk. Hello? I'm glad he's not dying of lung cancer because he smoked himself to death. I'm just thankful. And you say, you don't have a right to talk. Hey, listen, I wasn't born in the church. That's why I talk so rough and ragged. Amen. I wish I could have gone to college to learn how to preach. I'd be a better preacher, but I didn't get the chance. God called me to preach this gospel, and so I'm here preaching the gospel. And I've been doing that for a very long time. And I am a seasoned preacher. I'm now a pastor. Amen. My wife and I traveled the nation. We covered 18 different states. We evangelized 5 years full time. There was not one weekend in 5 years that we were not preaching somewhere. I was dead on my feet when I came to Lexington, North Carolina to pastor you. We were worn out. But here we are. Amen. And so the word of God is telling us, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. Let me just be plain and let me be blunt. And don't make me have to beat around the bush and because I'm afraid I'm going to hurt your feelings. Amen. Just don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me preach it, teach it, and let me reach you and teach you and show you so that we can have the end time revival that the Lord has determined for us to have and the move of God that we're supposed to have. Amen. Is God good? He that called you is holy. 1 Peter 1, 15, 16. He that called you is holy. So be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for he is holy. All right. And so it leads to this. How can I be holy? Amen. Amen. It is mankind's universal problem. In or of ourselves, we are not holy. Let me explain. Don't anybody go anywhere. Isaiah 64 and 6 is the word that we need to share with you right now. Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness is just like filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That is not a scripture giving us a reason not to be holy. That is a scripture that is urging us to receive the Holy Ghost, so God can give us the power and the authority to be holy. I said earlier, I'm glad God's not a drunk. I'm glad he's not, and I'm not playing games with God. He knows I'm being very serious here, being very respectful. Amen. And the reason I said that is because if we're thankful that he's not that, why can't we be thankful that he can deliver us from that and we don't have to be that? Is there anybody that doesn't even want to be that because he isn't that? Amen. And so then Romans 3, 10 through 12, where the word of God says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. At best, here's the best thing we can do. And I'm going to put you in an arena of safety right now regarding the subject of holiness. at best, all we can do within ourselves is obey the Scripture. If there's any more beyond the Scripture, we don't know it. And we will not be liable for it. So at best, all we can do is obey the Scripture. And if we will obey the Scripture, then we have put ourselves in the realm, in the framework of God's holiness, and into the mark of the best. Amen. Amen. It is not me striving to be holy. It is me slowly but surely, one day at a time, one step at a time, taking on the character and the nature of God, and He Himself creating something holy within me. Turning, morphing, changing into the image of God. Amen. This is a church that believes that once a liar, not always a liar. Once addicted, not always addicted. Once wrong, not always wrong. Once bad, not always bad. Because there's coming a day that the Lord will justify everything in us that is wrong if we love Him according to His Word. Amen. Here's methods that people use to become holy. And they try to adhere to rigid rules and regulations, and they live sacrificially. There's people that crawl on their hands and knees over glass and finally get to an idol, and they throw their last dollar in the lap of that idol, and they turn around and they crawl back. There's literally people in other third world countries that allow themselves to be crucified so they can be holy like Jesus. And then that's not what I am talking about here tonight. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. When you get God, He'll help you with the good. But we must hunger and thirst after righteousness first. Amen. So many people want to justify why they can live this way, why I can be wrong, why it's okay. Amen. But if they will bathe and saturate themselves in the love of God, they'll begin to say things like, why I need to change, why I've got to do better, why I've got to be stronger, why I've got to have more fortitude, why I need to be in the house of God, why I need to pray, why I need to worship. See, it changes. It all changes. Amen. Praise God. And so we cannot do anything to be holy. In order to become holy, we've got to go to the source. Holiness is the nature and the character of God. In fact, only God is holy. To become holy, we've got to take on the nature. We've got to take on the character of Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as holiness apart from God. When the Bible speaks of holy men, holy places, or holy things, it is because of their connection to God. When men, places, or things are severed from God, they cease to be holy and they become unholy instantly. And so that leads us to where we talk about standards. Amen. We have very much patience with people, because you have to, because people grow and in relationship with. I hope it's not too humorous. If I told you I look at people sometimes like onions. How many of you have ever cut an onion? It'll make you cry. I've had a lot of people make me cry. I've had people make me laugh till I cried. But yet the fiber of an onion is layers. It's layers. And so week by week, day by day, month by month, year by year, the Lord will cut away the layers that are like the world. He'll cut away the layers that resemble the flesh. He'll cut away the layers that resemble your enemy, the devil himself, and build and make something. Amen. I don't want anybody to ever do anything regarding holiness because I said it. But I want you to do it because you studied the Word of God. You saw it. You felt deep conviction. And then you did it. And that's why we have people that grow at different levels. Because different people saw it at different times. But don't ever use the excuse that I don't do that because the Lord hasn't spoken that to my heart. When He put it in the Word of God, He spoke it to your heart. But we have to allow personal conviction and personal desire and personal passion, because you cannot make yourself holy. You want to be holy because He is holy. Am I making sense? That's why there's patience. Amen. You'll see everything. Everything that I've mentioned here tonight, you'll see it one time or another right here at Landmark. We're like the Statue of Liberty. Give us all your bruised, your broken. Give us all your terribles and your horribles, and give us all your troubles and convicts. Hey, we'll take them all. Hello? We'll take the doctor. We'll take the dentist. We'll take the homeless. It don't matter to us, because all people are precious in the eyes of God. And by the grace of God, they can desire to want His character and become what He wants them to be. Amen. Why do we need standards? Standards represent distinction. Standards represent things that you belong to. Amen. When you drive by a fire and you see those trucks, you see particular people fighting the fire. How many of you have ever seen that? How did you know they were firemen? Brother Mike Smith, stand up and tell us. Because they dress that way. That's the way they look. That's what they wear. That's what they do. That's who they are. Amen. You don't go to a fire dressed like a brain surgeon. Amen. Why do I need standards? Standards represent distinction. God has always required His people to be distinct and separate from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So standards represent quality. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. I love this scripture because it's the Lord pouring His heart out to the church. And He says, "I know I've talked about all of that in my word. I know I've said a lot of things in my Bible talking about the Lord." And then He says, "But you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation and a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." Somebody ought to think, what a privilege. What a privilege. We can't treat this cheap. Listen, it may be low cost, but it's not low class. Standards represent unity. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren." In other words, Paul's saying, the Lord's saying, "I'm looking for you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all," somebody say all, not just a certain kind of church, not just a certain brand of church, not just the title on the church sign or the title of the church itself, but that you all speak the same thing. I don't care what church name is. But let us come together on the same thing with the Word of God. And that there be no divisions among you. Wow. No divisions. but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How can we do that? Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. The same mind. Not my mind dictating to the church. Not my mind and my thoughts. Not a doctrine because I ate too many burritos and came out the next day and said, the Lord spoke to me last night in a dream. No, He didn't. Tacos did. If it doesn't match with the Word of God, then it was not God. Amen. Standards reflect ownership. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, where it's Paul said, what? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's what our body is for. It's in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. There it is again. Which are God's, plural, body and spirit. Amen. I don't know where this God don't care about your body thing come from. But He does. He does. If we love God all else, we will seek to please Him. Above all else, we'll seek to please. Our love will dictate the way that we live. Am I right? Amen. We should not view standards as the means to gain salvation. Amen. We don't go holy so we can get salvation. That's not the way it works. Listen to me now. Actually, standards are a result of salvation. Amen? They represent bonds of love, and we cheerfully submit because to do so absolutely pleases God. Amen. So who sets the standards? My next point. Let's look at it. Who sets the standards? Number one, the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. The Bible says, wherefore lay apart filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The Word saves your souls. But be you doers of the Word. Not just believers of the Word, but doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. So the Word of God, number one, sets the standards for our lifestyle in serving the Lord. Number two, the Spirit of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There's a lot of submission here. There's a lot of dedication that's got to be done. And there's a lot of turning it over to Jesus that's got to be done. But it has got to be done. Amen. I'm not going to be the most popular preacher around. I know that. Because I'm not mushy and gushy and syrupy and cotton candy. But what I do hope to achieve is to see people stand with me at judgment and hear Him say, well done. Well done. Well done. Amen. So the Word sets the standard. The Spirit of God sets the standard. And here's the third thing that sets the standard, and that is apostolic tradition. Apostolic tradition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. In other words, fasten yourself like a nail or a nut in a bolt. Amen. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Not by grandma, grandpa, aunts and uncles and any little songbird that comes along. Amen. But hold to the traditions that you've been taught by the Word of God and the epistle that was written, of course, by the apostles. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Now we command you, this is a command not from me, but this is a command from the Word of God. Brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. There was one of them in the Word of God. His name was Demas. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken us, having loved this present world. They didn't forsake Demas. Demas forsook them when he started loving the world again. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible lets us know. The authority, let's look at the authority of the Scripture, and we're nearly done. Amen. We have got to give the Bible the authority to govern our lives. That's what we've got to do. It's a very rebellious world. It's gotten that way. It came out of the hippies. And I know I was one. And, you know, it came out of love everybody and peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Smoke another one. And just all of this. And their children just ran around the house with no regard. They had no. And guess where the children are? They're sitting in my church. And it's a tough thing. It's a very tough thing. We're living in a very rebellious generation because they had no guidance. They had no teaching. And because of that, their children are just blowing their minds. 3 years old, I can't do anything with my kid. Yes, you can. And they won't forget it, or they will forget it before they get married. Amen. They don't want to spank them. They don't want to discipline. They want to use the 1, 2, 3 mark thing. And now they're up to 20. 1, 2, 3. All right, 3.5. 3.75. And now they're up to 20, 25, 30. And the children are laughing at them. 5-year-old children telling their parents to shut up. 6-year-old kids saying, I hate you. One of my kids cost me over $10,000. You think I'm going to let that tell me I hate you? Hello? Cost more than my car did? You don't do that. You say, what do I do? And I know you don't know. Because the ones before you didn't teach you. But the Word of God will teach you. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Hello? And the Word of God says if you don't discipline your kids with the rod, that you hate your child. In other words, you're just standing by waiting. You can't wait for them to get grown and gone. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You need this little chunk of wisdom. You better listen very closely. Amen. They never grow up and they never get gone. They just bring more kids with them. And you think, I'm going to have grandkids and I'm going to go visit them. No, you're going to leave the house so you can get away from your grandkids. Amen. So it's a very rebellious generation that we live in. And they're untoward. The Bible said the last generation would be very untoward. You know what that means? It means toward everything and not toward anything specific. And I'm drawing specifics here tonight, and probably some of our minds are just reeling and saying, seriously? And I'm going to say back to you, seriously. It's what the Word of God says. And that's what we have that's real. That's what we have that's right. That's the Constitution come all the way down from heaven, and it cannot be changed because we want to change it. Am I right? We cannot choose the convenient scriptures that we love, pick the ones we like, and disregard and discard the ones that we don't. Amen. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 22. Here's what the James said. And I'll give you a little insight here. James, the physical brother of Jesus. So he kind of grew up with the man, you know. And so, then he became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Huge church, great church. Amen. And this is what James wrote when he was inspired by God. He said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." In other words, don't just see that and say, "I believe that." We do not believe anything that we do not obey. All right. We believe in Jesus Christ. I do too. But we really, truly don't believe in Jesus Christ until we obey Jesus Christ. You don't believe in anything you won't obey. And you will never obey anything you do not believe in. So why don't we just start just saying it. And let's just do this thing. Let's stand together. Amen. Faith and obedience bring us into a right relationship with God. Amen. It is therefore very important to know what the Word of God teaches. And I'm going to do my very best, along with evangelists and preachers and prophets and teachers that will come along and preach to you from this pulpit. Men and people that I have confidence in and that I know their lives, they will come and they will speak to you as well. And that will fulfill the fivefold ministry, which I believe is the five fingers of God upon the church. But it's very important to know what the Word of God teaches. The reason God has given the ministry to the church is to guide the church in knowing what the Bible teaches, not taking the church on their own opinions. That's when you wind up with the David, what was his last, Koresh people and the Guyana people that drink Kool-Aid and die by the hundreds. We don't want that. We want the Word. We want the Word of God. We want truth. We want righteousness. We want His glory. You know? Amen. I like to use animal metaphors. I just do. I love the animal kingdom. Amen. I shoot things, but I love animals. They taste good. Amen. Listen, I go hunting more than I go killing. I'll put it to you that way. And there's many, many days I just sit there and just watch nature, watch animals and things like that. And I learn from that. But if we could just kind of picture ourselves maybe like a butterfly. The Bible says when we were born in sin. Okay? We're born in sin. Some of you are thinking, "I thought my mom and dad had marriage license." No, that's not what I'm talking about. When you're born into this world. And the Bible says you must be born again. Of the water and of the Spirit, it says. And so, we're born again. So you take a butterfly comes into this world as a worm. And the girls say, "That's yucky." And then, all of a sudden, it morphs into something else. And it comes out a beautiful monarch butterfly. And the girls say, "That is gorgeous." Well, it came from a yucky worm. And so did we. It is not the will of God for us to come to Him with everything that He has to offer and to fight to stay a worm when we can become what He wants us to be. Every frog in the world came out of an egg and was in the water and was just a long tadpole. And within a framework of 5 weeks, it grows legs, it grows arms, loses its tail, crawls out, and starts croaking like a frog. I don't know. I look at that and I tell God, I don't want to stay the same way either. And Lord, if you can do it for a worm and a butterfly, if you can do it for a frog, then you can do, can I tell you one more? Did you know that when a kangaroo is born, it is like a worm? It's almost like a larvae. When it's born, the mother has to sit still because she has hands, but she can't use them like hands. And so when this thing is born, it's about that long, and it crawls through the fur like a worm. Crawls through the fur, finds its the mother's pouch, crawls into the pouch, locks on to nourishment, and about, I don't know, a month later, pops its head out and says, "Hello, world." Everything God created, it's like it morphs into something else. Seeds into a plant. A trickle of water into a river. A river into a lake. A lake into an ocean. What? Signifying to me that everything that is born in this world needs to be changed into something bigger and something better and something more beautiful and something totally different than it was when it was born. And his people, nothing different, nothing less. And so I wonder if there are those of you that would just close your eyes, lift your hands, and tell the Lord, I don't want to leave this world the way I am right now, but I want to be better. I don't want to leave this world the way I am. I don't want to leave the world worldly. I don't want to leave the world loving the flesh. I don't want to leave the world as the devil would have me leave this world. But I want to leave this world as Jesus would have me leave this world. Lord, by the will of God, I'm asking you to sanctify every one of us wholly and let us leave this life with the mark of the best. If it's my choice, and it is, then Holy Ghost, let me leave with the mark of the best. And somebody shout in Jesus' name. God richly bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight. Amen. Greet our guests and our visitors.